Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Actually, that's wrong. I was looking at last week's. I didn't change it in my sermon notes ahead of me. So we're actually looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and we're going to be taking a look at verses 9 through 17 rather than 7 through 17. So forgive me for that little mistake there. Let's take a look at this together. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I can't stay up here and talk about loving each other, right? The command to love it, there's something that just doesn't feel right about me standing up there and talking about loving people, because it's almost like talking about love from far away. You know, it's like talking about love in theory rather than love in practice. And so this morning I'm going to be talking about love in practice. How do we get away from this theoretical love where we say, yes, we're supposed to love people. Yes, we're supposed to cherish them. Yes, we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ, while all at the same time, in our churches and in churches all over the country, Christians can be some of the meanest people out there, can't they? How many of us have ever met a mean Christian? Right? And it flies in the face of Jesus' words here. I mean, it completely runs into a brick wall. Jesus has no room for that in his kingdom. And yet here we are, we've got believers who can't forgive. We've got believers who hold grudges. We've got believers who, because of personality conflicts, don't want to have anything to do with each other. And Jesus says, no, not in my kingdom. That's not how my kingdom works. I've got a different calling upon your life. And so it just didn't feel right with me standing up there sharing a bunch of things and not being down here with you. Because that's where love is, right? It's up close. Love's up close and it's personal. You know, I'll never forget growing up in the church I grew up, my pastor, Reverend Dr. Charles McCaskey, he would always say when we were getting ready to profess our faith and when we go through the confirmation class and we did all the little things you're supposed to do and we'd get, for those of us who felt led by the Holy Spirit, he was very clear on that. Don't, just because you went through this class, stand up here and profess your faith if you don't mean it. He was like, you'll know when the Holy Spirit is calling you. You will know that moment when Jesus Christ has been revealed to you in the person and you're ready to stand before the congregation and to profess your love of him. And so as we stood and we're ready, we got to that third question in the confession of faith. And it said, do you promise to be a member of this church? Do you promise to follow the government of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church? And then he would always say, and now here comes the hard part. Do you promise to love your brothers and sisters in Christ? He said, this is the hardest part. This is the hardest question you'll have. And of course, like good little Christians, we said, yes, absolutely. Anybody who's joined this church has been asked that same question. I didn't say this is the hardest part. But you still said, yes, I'll love my brother and sister. Why do we do that? Because Jesus said, as I have loved you, you love each other. As I have remained in my Father, and I follow His commands, and I do what He says, so you do what I say if you want to remain in my love, if you want to walk with me. You see, when we withhold that from each other, when for whatever the reason is, we might find a think in our minds that it's justifiable to withhold love from somebody else. Whenever we do, we share just how little we understand God's love. Imagine if God did that to you. Imagine if He did it to me. If I did something to rub Him the wrong way, or if I did something to hurt Him, and He said, "Not today, Kenny. No grace for you. No blessings for you. I'm going to withhold it all. And you're on your own." I don't even want to know what that day would look like. Because I think I would fall on my face. I think I would be hurt. I think I would be so wounded. I don't even know if I'd want to get out of bed. And yet that's not the kind of love that God the Father has for us. What are we told in the Scriptures? While we were yet sinners, He sent Christ to die for us. What are we told in this passage about Christ? Greater love hath no one than this, that they lay down their life for someone else. We're going to get more into what that means later, because we often misrepresent it a lot, and just the language, we mess it up. We're going to get into that. But before we can get there, we have to realize, we have to acknowledge that it is the responsibility, the call, rather, upon every Christian's life to mirror the love of God to others. What does that mean? It means that you're to be an accurate representation of God's love for other people. Now, you might be saying, "Kenny, I know all this." My question is, why can't we do it? If we know it, why can't we do it? If we know it, why is it so hard? See, the thing about love in theory is you can love people in a safe way that's not costly, that doesn't make you sacrifice anything, and you can say you love people while doing the exact opposite in their lives. But the thing about this practical kind of love that makes you get down in the trenches with them, that makes you serve alongside them, that makes you kind of deal with difficult people, the only way that you can do that and truly love somebody is with the supernatural help of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You can't do it without their help. You can't do it without His help, without God. You see, we're meant to embody what Christ has revealed with us, what He has shown to us. And that kind of love, that, you know, gosh, in the Greek, I'm not going to go through them all today. There's four different words for love. But that kind of love, you've heard this term before, it's the agape love. It's the kind of love that is unconditional to you. It's not about a physical attraction. It's not about brotherly or sisterly kindness. It's not about any of that other stuff. It is about a love that is so pure, that is so true, that is so powerful, that it cuts beyond even offenses to get to you. And before I go a second longer, I want to ask you this morning, who in your life are you withholding that kind of love from? Who do you need to strongly consider and ask the Holy Spirit, "Lord, where am I walking amiss? Who am I withholding love from? Who am I withholding your love and not reflecting and not being a mirror and not embodying the kind of love that you have for me in the lives of other people?" You know, you know people who do this well, right? Just like we know people who it's hard to love, we also know people who love in ways that we wish we could. Right? Anybody ever met that guy or that girl, that man or that woman that can love in such a supernatural filled way that every time you walk away, you're almost in awe in a good way of them. Not because you worship them, not anything like that, but you're just stunned at their ability to cut through offenses, at their ability to ignore wrongs, at their ability to lay their desires down for others. And yet that's what Jesus is calling us to. And he's not saying, okay, I'm only expecting this out of the top-notch Christians. Everybody else, you get a pass. That wasn't in my translation. Was it in yours? It'd be easier if it was, right? Wouldn't it be easier if God said, I want you to love sometimes. I want you to be patient sometimes. I want you to be kind sometimes. I want you to love people when they're deserving of it. Wouldn't that be so much easier? But yet he says, no, I want you to love. I want you to be the embodiment of love to the people in your life. I want you to be so filled with my spirit that what you do is you love people. And yet, I would say that the church, universal, is missing that today. Didn't we just sing all about love this whole service? How we'll walk hand in hand. How they'll know us by our love. All these beautiful songs that we sing. And yet when most people think of the church, I don't have a poll to back this up, but I guarantee you if they made one, it would back me up. Most people, when they think of the church, love is not high on their list, is it? So where did we go wrong? Where did we go wrong that we're no longer being the ones who embody love in the world? What happened to us? What happened to us to make us struggle to embody love with each other? You know, Jesus says so clearly there, I want you to remain in my love. I shared with you last week that there's a disconnect, that oftentimes what happens to us when we grow tired, when we grow weary, when our service is worn out and we're at the end of ourselves, it's usually because somewhere, somehow, we became disconnected from the love of Christ. And it's not that we don't believe anymore. It's not that we don't love. It's that the relationship isn't as such where we are regularly experiencing the love of Christ, where it is pouring into our lives quickly and succinctly and in an ongoing way, where it sustains us, where we're able to love longer and harder and farther than anybody else can. And yet Jesus says, if you want to remain in me, I need you to have that kind of command. I need you to follow that command. I need you to have that kind of love. I need you. He said, if you love me, you're going to follow me. You're going to obey me. Now, it's not that following and obeying is what keeps us in that love. No, he says, if you love me, if you let me love you, and you love me, then you're going to obey the law. You can't help but obey the law. You know, I was driving down the road the other day, and I pulled up beside one of the people selling the newspaper. And he was selling it. And my first instinct was, well, if he can stand out there all day, why doesn't he get a job? Anybody ever thought that? And then the Holy Spirit knocked me upside the head and said, you don't know his story. Buy one of those papers. And I said, yes, sir. And I bought one of those papers, and I talked to him for a minute, but the light turned green, and I had to go. But I thought to myself, you know, here I am. Here I'm the pastor of the church, and I come out with the most judgmental thought that I could have, not knowing anything about that person, and judging them and expecting the worst out of them. And I thought, well, this sermon's as much for me as it is for anybody else, because I need it, because I lose sight of it. You know, Jesus goes on to say, greater love hath no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. Now, that term we translate as life, means so much more than your physical body. A better translation would say soul, that you lay down your soul for someone else. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means we're talking about your desires. We're talking about your emotions. We're talking about your thinking, your conscious soul. You willfully lay it down for someone else. Now, don't get me wrong. If I lay my physical life down for somebody that's here today, if I were to lay it down for one of my children, if I were to lay it down for my wife, that'd be an act of love, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that show my love? Right? If you lay down your physical body for somebody, that would show love. But the problem, that's how we often treat this passage, and we just leave it there. Well, if that moment ever arises, I'll push them out of the train. I'll push them from out from in front of the car. I'll jump in front of the bullet. But how many of us have been shot at? How many of us have ever come close to getting hit by a train? And so, right, there's safety in that. Well, I'll lay down my life, but I don't really have to. And so I'll just go on living for myself. But that word really means and implies, no, you lay down your emotions. You lay down your desires. You lay down your thinking for someone else, for their betterment. And whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's a child, whether it's a coworker, whether it's one of your students, your friends at school, greater love hath no one than this, that you lay down your desires for them. You say, what does that look like? I can't help but think about the Apostle Paul and his many missionary journeys. And in one of them, he goes and the people, they can't eat meat sacrificed to idols. They just can't eat that kind of meat. They were born of that idol worship, and they struggled from it, and they were delivered from it, and they said, we can't touch that meat. We can't have anything to do with that meat. We're going to stay. If it's over there, we're going to stay over here. And Paul says, for their sake, I can eat that meat all day. It means nothing to me. The God they're sacrificing it to doesn't even exist. But I'm going to lay my desire down. I'm going to lay my will down for them, so that they can be bettered, so that they can experience the love of God. Because the last thing that he wanted to be was a stumbling block to them. And you say, well, I don't have to worry about laying down any kind of meat or anything like that. That's just an example. You know, you think about your life, and where does most of your conflict come in? It's when your desire differs from somebody else's desire, right? Your emotions differ from somebody else. Your will differs from somebody else. And so you bump into each other. And then when nobody will lay their life down, no one will lay their desires down, what do you come to? An impasse. Aren't we watching that in the government, right? We have leaders of both parties ramming into each other. Nobody willing to compromise. Nobody willing to lay their life down. How long will it go on? I don't know. Praise the Lord, I'm not a politician. They've got a hard job, and we need to pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders of both parties. But that's what life looks like when neither side is willing to lay their life down, when neither side is willing to have humility, when neither side is willing to humble themselves. I love my wife. Do I love her enough to turn off a football game and watch a Hallmark movie? I don't know. But that might be what laying my life down looks like in a particular moment. I love my children. Am I willing to get up off the couch after a long day of work, crawl down in the floor and play with their toys? Am I willing to spend the time it takes to teach them what it means to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? Or am I just going to leave that to the church? And I realize I'm the pastor saying that. And so it's a little bit different because I work at the church and I realize that. But just imagine, have you ever felt that way? Am I willing to lay my desires down? Greater love hath no one than this, that you lay your soul down for your friend. I want to ask you today, where in your life do you need to lay down your soul? Where in your life do you need to lay down those desires, those emotions, and you need to say, you know what, I'm not going to demand that everything has to be my way anymore. And instead, I'm going to love them the way that Jesus loves me. I'm going to love them, and the only way I can do that is with Jesus' help. So I'm going to remain in His love, and He's going to keep giving me that love. And the Holy Spirit's going to show me how to work it out in everyday life, and I'm going to walk in that love. And then the more I walk in that love, the more I will embody that love, and then all of a sudden that kind of love, that agape kind of love, starts coming a little natural to me, not natural in the flesh, but natural in the Spirit as I listen to God. And then I can't help. You know, there was that old song where you snap our fingers. Jesus' love is a bubbling over. Jesus' love, it bubbles in my soul. Well, is that true of you? Is Jesus' love bubbling over? That's what Jesus is talking about here. That kind of love should be bubbling out into your life. And if it's not, then you have to go back to that first love and say, all right, what's going on here? What is wrong here? Why can't I love my neighbor as myself? Why can't I love my coworker the way that I should? Why am I holding on to a grudge? Why am I being unforgiven? Why can't I embody the very love that I say I cherish from God? And let the Holy Spirit show you. You know, there was a doctor who was also a minister. He was spent a time in a counseling session. He was a writer as well, and I'll think of his name here in a minute, but his name's not the important thing. A woman came to him, and she said, I hate my husband. Not only do I want to divorce my husband, but I hate him so much I want to hurt him. And he thought, well, okay, what should I do with this? And he said, I'll tell you what, don't divorce him right now. You go home, and you shower him with love. You shower him with kindness. You love him in such a way that you've never loved him before. And then in 2 months' time, when he thinks everything's great, you tell him you're ready for a divorce and pull the rug out from underneath him. And she thought, I love that advice. That is great. I'm going to start on this immediately. And she went home. 2 months later came, and he didn't hear from her. And so he called her up and he said, well, are you ready to divorce your husband? And she said, divorce him? I just learned how much I love him. How did that happen? She just said, I'm not going to wait to feel like I love somebody. I'm not going to wait for my feelings to tell me how I should treat somebody. I'm just going to make a conscious decision to lay my desires down, to lay my emotions down, and to willfully love this person in my life. And wouldn't you know it, when we do that, we actually start loving them. C.S. Lewis had this to say on the other side of that. You want to know how to hate somebody? Keep trying to inflict harm on them. Whatever you embody, whatever you bring to life in that relationship, that's how you're going to feel about them. You want to keep hating them? Do hateful things. You want to start loving them? Start loving the way that God did. Your feelings will eventually catch up, and even if they don't, it's not about your feelings, remember? We talked about laying those down. That's the call, and it's tough. And we can't do it without God's help. But here's the thing. God didn't say, if you feel like it, do it. Jesus didn't say, do it some of the time. No, Jesus said, if you want to remain in me, like I remain in the Father, listen to my commands, obey them, do them, love each other the way that I love you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we definitely need your help with this. We all have those people in our lives that we rub up against, and as maybe as kind and tender-hearted as we try to be, it seems like every way we try and approach them, it ends in failure, and we want to love them so bad, but it's easier to dislike them. It's easier to even hate them and be unforgiving. Lord, forgive us for that. Thank you for not taking that approach to us. Thank you for never looking upon us and saying, well, the easy thing for me to do is to just wipe the slate clean, to get rid of this guy or this girl, man or woman. Lord, help us to embody the very love that you so freely give to us, and help us to realize that reality, that when we lay our lives down, when we lay our souls down, those desires, emotions, and willful thoughts, when we lay those down for others, all we're doing is mirroring what you have done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Michael comes forward to lead us in our closing hymn this morning, I want to invite you. If there is someone in your life that you're struggling to love, let this be the moment that you take that first step towards saying, I'm not going to approach them in that way anymore. Instead, I'm going to try and embody the very love that Christ has for me. I'm going to make a conscious decision to make this relationship not about me, but about Christ working in me. And I'm going to trust that the Lord will help me to see them as they are, that creation of His, whom He loves so much. And by the way, that person you might dislike, God loved him so much that He sent His Son to die for them. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Let's ask the Lord to help us to have a love that is so radical that people might even know that we're Christians because of our love and by our love.